The word for tonight is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. As you turn there, I'm just going to say a short prayer. Lord, I pray that you speak to us tonight, Father, Lord. I pray that it's not me standing up here delivering this message to this church, Lord, but that it's you delivering this message to me and to all of us, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord God, and grant us, Lord, open hearts to receive it, Father, Lord God, so that all the glory may be given to you. Amen. It says, starting in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's affliction for his body, that is, the church. I've become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you, to make God's message fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. Amen." The message for tonight is going to revolve around this idea, this theme, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as we read this passage, there are basically three main ideas, three main points that I want to cover tonight. But the central idea, kind of sandwiched in between the other two ideas, is this middle portion, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's one of the things, or that's the thing that I want to cover first. So we're gonna tackle the middle, and then we're gonna go to the periphery tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, in the Old Testament, when God gave the law to Moses, one of the things that he commanded him to do was to build an ark, to build a box, basically. He said, "Make it out of acacia wood, covered in gold. It's to be about 45 inches long, 27 inches in height, and 27 inches in width." Bam. Maybe this is like the Hot Wheels version. This is kind of like a small representation of that. But basically what the ark was a box covered in gold. And he said, "That is the place where I'm going to meet with you. That ark is the place where I'm going to make my presence to dwell." So the people of Israel, if anybody came and asked them and they said, "Hey, where is God?" they would turn to the tabernacle, or they would turn to the temple later on, and they could point with their finger and say, "That's where God is. That is where God's presence dwells, in the temple over the Ark of the Covenant." Fast forward a couple thousand years. Here we are, the Emmanuel Church, or from whatever church you come from. And we know that Christ came for us. We know that Christ died on the cross. And we know that he ascended into heaven. So now I'm going to ask you, where is Christ? Where is the presence of God? Is it up in heaven? We're told in the Bible that he ascended to heaven. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Is Christ in heaven? Is he far away? Is he thousands and millions and billions and unfathomable distances away? No. In fact, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. This word, the word that we read tonight, teaches us an amazing truth, that Christ is not in heaven, that Christ is not millions of miles away, that Christ is not unfathomable distances away from us, but he's very present. He is here, not just close, but within every single one of us. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to picture. So that's one of the reasons why I'm using this prop for tonight. And I'm going to give you guys homework. So you guys are going to go home and ask your mom, as I did, to take a box and to wrap it up in gold gift wrap. Because this idea of Christ being with us is a little hard for us to get our minds around. So I think it would be helpful if we did this little exercise. So you're going to have your little box, and you're going to keep it by your bed, and you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to grab your box, and you're just going to walk around with it. Just stick it under your arm, and you know, you're going to go brush your teeth. You're going to have breakfast. You're going to get in your car, you're going to drive to work, or you're going to drive to school, and you know, go throughout your day with this little box, which in ancient Israel symbolized, represented the very real presence of God. And for us, it's going to represent the presence of Christ with us, because it's that real, just as real as I have this box with me over here. That's how real the presence of God is in this place, and that's how real the presence of God is in you. And you're going to walk around, and people are going to think you're weird, and they're going to ask you, what are you doing? Why are you carrying around a box? And you're going to say, oh, that's not just the box. That represents Christ with me. And believe you me, that is going to affect the way you walk throughout the day. That is going to affect the way you talk throughout the day. That is going to affect the way that you interact throughout the day. People are going to say, what? Christ is with you? And you're always going to have that reminder with you. Always going to have. There's not one thing that you're going to be able to do without the thought that wherever you go, you are taking Christ with you. That whatever you say, Christ is there present to hear. Whatever you do, Christ is there partaking in that work. Christ is going to be with you. Now, as the body of Christ, and carrying this truth, this amazing truth of Christ being inside every one of us is an amazing responsibility, because think about it. Think what that means for us. Think what that means for the presence of God. When Christ originally came to the earth, he walked around where he would. He spoke to whoever he wanted to speak to. He performed miracles. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He provided food for 5,000. He performed miracle after miracle, even raising the dead. He went where he wanted. But now, today, in this place, tonight, Christ, to a very large degree, where Christ goes and where he speaks and what he does and who he touches depends on, guess who? On you and on me. Because as the carriers of Christ, we are the ones that take Christ to the world. Before he left, he said, I'm going, but it's better for you that I go, because now I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have the full Godhead dwelling inside of us. We have the Father, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus Christ himself dwelling in us. We are the temple of God. And wherever we go, we carry Christ with us. Christ hasn't changed. He is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. He still desires to perform miracles. He still desires to heal. He still desires to speak. He still desires to work in people's lives. He still desires to lift the fallen. But he's not here physically in a human body able to do that. But his desire is still to reach out to the world. So how is he going to do that? Whereas 2,000 years ago, he was one person. And he went around Judea, and he went around Samaria, and he touched hundreds and thousands of lives. Today, imagine the impact where I look at this church, and there are hundreds of people in this church. Hundreds of men and women with the presence of God within them. Hundreds of men and women, parents and children, who have Christ dwelling in them, ready to go out into the world and to make an impact. Imagine what we could do if we really took this word seriously, that I'm not just Colleen, you're not just Lazar, you're not just whoever you are sitting on a bench, but you are a person with the presence of Jesus Christ, ready to go out into the world and to touch the brokenhearted, ready to let Christ work through you to heal the sick and the diseased. I was listening to a pastor. I'm going to put this down. I think you guys get it. I was listening to a pastor not too long ago, and he said that one day he was sitting in his study, And as he was studying the word of God, he said he heard Christ speaking to him, and Christ asked him, he said, "Johnny, where am I going to go today?" And this pastor sat, and you know how it is. You hear that internal voice speaking to you. And this pastor sat around, and he said, "Well, I don't know, God. Where are you going to go today?" A couple minutes passed, and again he heard the voice, "Johnny, where am I going to go today?" And as the pastor sat and he thought, he realized what God was telling him, that it's up to him and it's up to me where Christ goes. It's up to me and up to you what kind of impact Jesus Christ has in this world, has in my family, has in my church, based on how willing I am to go and to allow him to work through me. There's a great story in the Old Testament, Jonathan, King Saul's son. It says that the Philistines invaded Israel, and as they lined up for battle, there was a hill, and the Philistines were camped on that hill. There was another hill where the Israelites were camped, and in between there was a valley. And one night, Jonathan said to his buddy, to his armor bearer, he said, "Let's go to the Philistine camp. Let's go see what God would do through us." Because he knew his Bible. He knew his Old Testament. He knew that in the Bible it said that one person with the power of God is able to put 1,000 enemies to flight. And two people together can put 10,000 enemies to flight. So Jonathan was thinking, we already outnumber them. We're already a majority because we have God with us. Let's go see. Let's give God an opportunity to see what he would do. So they got down from their hill. They crossed the valley. They went up the hill to the Philistine camp. And as they were approaching, he said to his buddy, he said, let's put a sign. If we're going to make some noise, we're going to make ourselves seen. And if the Philistines tell us, hey, you wait down there, we're going to come, who do you think you are, coming into our camp, we're going to come down there and teach you a lesson, then we'll know that God isn't with us, and we better run back to our camp really quick. However, if the Philistines say, hey, who do you think you are, why don't you come up here and we'll teach you a lesson, if they say that, we'll know that God is with us, we'll know that he's given them over to us. So that's what they do. They go over, they cross the valley, they go over to the camp, the Philistines see them, and indeed they say, hey, you Israelites, who do you think you are? Why don't you come up here and we'll teach you a lesson if you're so brave, if you're going to come up to our camp. And I could see Jonathan and his armor bearer just kind of, all right, God is with us. God is in this. Let's go. And they go up to the Philistine camp, and it says that him, just Jonathan and his armor bearer were able to cause amazing destruction in this Philistine camp and gain a great victory for the people of God, because they were willing to go out and to say, let's see what God is going to do. Let's see what God is desiring to do through us today. And that's what it means to carry the presence of God with you. It means that he is in a very real sense with you in everything that you do and wherever you go. But not only that, it says that Christ is with us. He is the hope of glory. The hope of glory, and if you take the Hebrew word for glory, it means weight. It means W-E-I-G-H-T. It means heaviness. It means substance. As opposed to the superficial things in life. And we all know that there are enough superficial things in this life. And in our lives as well, if we're honest with ourselves. Superficiality rules. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this epistle, he says, Christ in us means something. It means something different. It doesn't mean the same old, this routine, as Colleen kept mentioning. It doesn't mean just singing songs and just going through our day and going through our lives and just doing the same old thing over and over again. No substance, no depth, no real meaning to the things that we're involved in. The presence of Christ with us means weight, means substance, means glory. It means life abundant, because the Bible says that Christ came to grant us, to give us not just any old life, but abundant life. It's like cotton candy. without Christ, life is like cotton candy. When you take it, when you hold it in your hand, it's pretty big. It's pretty big all around. You could it takes up a lot of space. But if you take that cotton candy and you squeeze it just a little bit, you can squeeze it down into a tiny little pebble of nothingness. Because even though it looks like it's something important, even though it looks like it's something big, even though it looks like it's something of value, in truth, there's nothing really there. And that's what this life without Christ is. Life without Christ is like cotton candy. We may get caught up in the sweetness of it. We may get caught up in the pretty little pink colors, but ultimately there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there without Christ. There's no substance. And what Christ came to do is to offer us, to give us substance. He came to give us life abundant. He came to bring glory into our lives, to bring weight, to bring meaning. He wants to work through us. He wants to do amazing things through us if we would only put ourselves out there, if we would only allow Him to work through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the central part of this passage. Without this, I don't think we can understand anything else that the Apostle Paul is saying. But moving on, going on, like I said, these other two ideas that are kind of sandwiched around this central part of Christ being in us, he says in verses 1 and 2, or 24 through 26, he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I'm completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's affliction for his body, that is, the church. I have become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's message fully known." So here Paul says, okay, Christ is living in me. Christ is indwelling my life. Now, what does that mean? Now, it means that I have a mission. And the second point that I want to bring to you tonight is a welcome to your mission, to your purpose in life. Because as the Apostle Paul says, I used to be Saul of Tarsus. I used to be this man that persecuted the church. I used to be this man that put a lot of trust in my education. I went to the greatest university. I had position and power. I was part of the Sanhedrin. I knew the important people. I knew the rich people. I had everything going for me. I had a future in this life, speaking in a human way. But later on, he would say that I count all that stuff as garbage, as trash, compared to the joy of knowing Christ. Because now I have a mission. Now I have a purpose in my life. Now I truly have something that gives me fulfillment. And what Paul would say to us, to you tonight, is that the only way that this life makes sense, the only way that you're going to be able to make sense of this life is if you have, and if you go through life with this knowledge, that you are a missionary. You are a disciple. You are a man or a woman who is commissioned on this earth to take the gospel to the lost. If you focus on your job, you are going to be left empty. It's cotton candy. If you focus on school and education, ultimately you're going to realize it's emptiness. There's no substance. If you focus on relationships and being popular and having friends and knowing the right people and just surrounding yourself with the movers and the shakers of this world, you're going to come to a point like Paul. He had it all. He knew it all. Where you say, this is emptiness. This life without Christ is empty. And in fact, I've talked to some people, to a number of people recently in the past couple of weeks, and I've been asked, all right, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of all this? Why should I focus on school? Why should I focus on work if we're supposed to be waiting for Christ, and if Christ is coming and if his return is near, why even bother with getting married? Why even bother with going to school? Why even bother with going to work? And there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that question, because I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think we've all come to that point where we're in our room or in our car or we're at work or with our family or we're just going through our life and suddenly it hits us. Hasn't it hit you? You think about it and you're like, this makes no sense. What? Just wake up and go to work at 8, get off at 5, and that can't be it. All right, I'm going to go to school, and I go to school to get this job that's ultimately not going to fulfill me. What's the point of school even? Even relationships can be disappointing because people let us down. And brothers and sisters, church, the only way that I can make this world sense for myself, the only way that Paul was able to make his world to make sense for him, and the only way you're going to be able to put this world in order and in with the right priorities, if you say, you know what, this stuff that I'm doing, this school, this job, these other things that I'm involved in, these are all secondary things. But my purpose in life is not to go to school. My purpose in life is not to go to work and to make money. My purpose in life is not to become popular and rich and well-known. My purpose in life is to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known in the world. And believe me, there is nothing else that will give you fulfillment. There's nothing else that will give you joy. There's nothing else that will give you purpose in life like this. If you grasp that truth, if you grasp this meaning that ultimately, as believers, as men and women who carry the image of Christ within us, that our purpose is to be witnesses of the gospel, that our purpose is to take Jesus Christ to the world, then we begin to make sense of this world. Why? Because ultimately it just doesn't even matter that much anymore. We read Paul over here in verse 24 and he says, you know what? I'm suffering for you. I suffer for you guys. But you know what? That doesn't even matter. Even suffering I count as joy. Even suffering is a joy to me because I know that I'm fulfilling my purpose. Even in suffering, I can rejoice because I know that I am doing what I was put on this earth to do, which is to make Jesus Christ known to the world. Look what he says. This is the passage that we studied in Remnant this morning. And it's the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them some of the things that he's been through. And this blew my mind, honestly. I mean, I've read this passage, but just hearing it again, it's just you almost can't believe the things that he went through for these Corinthians, for these churches. He says, I've had more labors, I've had more imprisonments, far worse beatings, I've been near death many times. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. 1 time I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers, labor and hardships, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, and lacking in clothing. And he's saying, all that stuff, I considered it a joy. Now, I haven't been beaten for Christ. I haven't been whipped. I haven't been shipwrecked. I haven't been stoned. And like Gabby was saying this morning, you know what? I honestly don't think I would be able to say what the Apostle Paul said. Because every time he was beaten, he got up, dusted off his clothes, and went on preaching the gospel. Every time that he was whipped and lashed, he would get up and show them the love of Christ. Every time a close brother turned his back on him and betrayed him, he would still show them the love of Christ and preach to them and love them and sacrifice himself for them. He had a mission. He knew what it was. And all the things of this world, like that song says, the things of this world, when we get that down, when we understand this truth, the things of this world, they begin to grow strangely dim. All of a sudden, you know what? They're not that important. Even sufferings I can take because I know that I'm doing what I was put on this earth to do. Even my 8-to-5 job I can take because I know that by being faithful in that, that allows me to be faithful to Christ in these other things. That pays for the bills. Even going to school, I know I can do that. I can face, you know, my math professor. I can face my chemistry professor, whatever class you're having a struggle with. Because I know that in this way, This will prepare me for my job. This will pay for my bills. This will take care of this body. This will take care of the earthly things. But ultimately, my fulfillment and my happiness and my purpose in life isn't locked up in these things. It's greater. It's far greater. I'm living a life that the world can't even imagine. I'm living a life not of my own, but I have the living God, Christ the King of kings and the Lord of lords, living within me. And it's no longer my life, but I go where he tells me. I no longer get up and do what I want to do, but I get up and in the morning, I talk to Christ. I talk to the King, and he tells me where to go. Can you honestly tell me that if you came home tonight and you sat down and you said, today, I got to share the gospel with somebody, and that person gave their life to Christ. Can you honestly tell me that that wouldn't be just the most glorious thing of all? Can you tell me that if you went home tomorrow, if you go to school and you allow yourself to be used by God, if you allow Christ within you to direct your steps, that as he speaks to you and as he shows you a kid in your class that is lonely and that nobody pays attention to, and you feel, you hear Christ, the voice of Christ telling you to go talk to him. And as you go talk to him, this person opens up and tells you that they've been suffering and that they've been lonely and that they were ready to give up on everything. And that you going over there and obeying Christ was the difference between life and death for that person. Can you tell me that would not be a fulfilling life? Can you tell me that would not be joyous and glorious? That's what will bring you joy. That's what will bring you happiness. That's what will bring you fulfillment, not chemistry homework. It's walking with Christ and allowing Christ to move you, allowing Christ to direct your steps. Every day saying, Christ, where are we going to go today? What are we going to do today? And being open constantly to that voice to direct you and to lead you. That is joy. That is happiness. That is purpose in this life. That is meaning. Christ within us, directed, guided, and fulfilling our mission on this earth, which is to take his gospel to the world. And finally, the last thing that the Apostle Paul says is kind of a little directive. So he says, okay, if you're grasping this truth, if you understand that you aren't just Paul or Mary or Bob or Joe or Joanna or whoever, if you understand that you aren't just you, but you have within you, dwelling within you, the very real, very present presence of Jesus Christ. If you understand that, and if you understand that Christ is ready to do miracles through you, that Christ is ready to touch the lives of people, the lives of the people around you. That if you understand that Christ is ready to move in fantastic and miraculous ways with you through your life, here's what we got to do. So try this out. Point number three. He says in verses 28 through 29, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. The first thing that he says is we proclaim him. And it's not the pastor, it's not the professionals, it's not the person with the theology degree, but he's saying we, as the body of Christ, we proclaim him. We, as the church, we're the ones called to go out into the world. And not one of you has an excuse not to do this. Not one of you has an excuse to say, well, we're going to let the people like Paul, we're going to let the pastors, we're going to let the board members, we're going to let the people that have preparation and all these things and degrees. No. The Apostle Paul says, we are the body. Christ works through us. We are his hands and his feet. Where he goes depends on us being willing to go out into this world. So we have to do it. It's a mission and a commandment for all of us. Secondly, so accept that mission as your own personal mission. Secondly, he says that we proclaim. So again, try this out. Tomorrow, go to school, go to work, and just allow Christ to move in you and to show you where your opportunity is going to come. And when that opportunity comes, we are called as believers in Christ to proclaim. That means to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That means to proclaim that he is the one true God and there aren't others. That means to proclaim that there is one name given under heaven by which men must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name. We have to make that declaration. We're going to be presented with opportunities. People asking us, or people blaspheming the name of God, or just circumstance after circumstance, you're going to see it. The voice of Christ is going to speak to you, and you're going to have an opportunity to either be quiet or to proclaim. But I encourage you, if you want to truly live this abundant life, if you want to truly live this glorious life that Christ is offering to us, then proclaim. Don't shy away from it. Don't be afraid. When the opportunity presents itself, say, Christ is Lord. Make that declaration with passion, without fear, with courage, knowing that he's going to give you the words that you need to make that declaration. Thirdly, he says, we proclaim and we warn. Now, warning means not shying away from the difficult questions. There are many thoughts, there are many philosophies in this world. There are many different paths that people have come up with and that they would desire to take. And the Apostle Paul says that our mission as Christians on this world, we function as fire alarms. We function as the people who wake them up from their sleep when there's danger. This is our mission. So when you see your brother or your sister that they're in danger, when you see your parents even, that they're not following Christ, when you see your friend at school, when you see the people that you work with, that they're heading down, the Bible says that wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to salvation. There are many people on this wide path. Are we fulfilling our calling to be fire alarms? Are we fulfilling our calling to be the ones that warn them that they're in danger, that their lives, that their eternal destiny is in danger? Warn the people around you. Be the person who's going to say the things that aren't easy to say. It's not going to be a fun conversation. I could already tell you, it's not going to be the most pleasant conversation you've ever had. You might even be hated. You might even be persecuted. You might even get that thrown back in your face. Who do you think you are to tell me how to live my life? But the Apostle Paul says that as Christians, this is our mission. The only way that we can truly live the glorious life, that we can truly have Christ leading us, is if we function as this warning for the people around us, to warn them when they're on the path to destruction. Fourthly, he says that we need to see the people around us as Christ sees them. The Apostle Paul says that his mission is to present everyone as mature Christians. Some of your other translations says to present them perfect. And this is the potential that you have within yourself, and this is the potential that the people around you, the people to your left, the people to your right have. By following Christ, to become and to develop into these mature Christians that Christ can work in, that Christ can use, that Christ can bless other people through. Again and again I've said, not one of you was made to sit on a bench. Not one of you was meant to warm a seat in a pew. But you were meant to be perfect. You were meant to be mature Christians. You were meant to be tools in the hands of Christ that will impact this world. Workers of miracles, healers of the sick, preachers of the gospel, leaders of worship. You were meant to be men and women who would turn the world upside down. Mature Christians that Christ could use at a moment's notice and in difficult circumstances to make an impact for the world. That's how Christ sees you, and that's how Christ sees the people around you. He doesn't see us as these weak, fallible people that we are. Truly, we are. If we're honest with ourselves, that's who we are. But he sees us through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. He sees you covered in the blood of the Lamb. He sees you cleansed of all sin. He sees you made ready to be a bearer of his image to the world. So let's see the people around us as Christ sees them, as he sees us. as people who have the potential to be mature, to be perfect, to be used by Him. And then the last thing that we have to do, so the last thing that I'm going to encourage you to try out, as the Apostle Paul says over here, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing one song to end this service. But the last thing that the Apostle Paul says, he says, I labor for this, striving. And my encouragement to you tonight is to get bloodied up, to be willing to get bloodied up, to be willing to labor, to strive, to agonize. In fact, the word that the Apostle Paul uses over here to strive is the word that we get agony from. He says that this is not something that he took lightly. This is not something that was a part-time job for him. But this mission to make Christians around him perfect, this mission to make Christians around him mature in Christ, this mission to proclaim the word, this mission to warn other people, he agonized over this calling. He agonized and he struggled. And we've seen, as I read out of 2 Corinthians, the things that he went through, being beaten, being shipwrecked, being without food, being cold, struggling. It wasn't an easy life. He had it rough. He agonized over these people. Why? Because he knew that Christ loved them. He saw within himself where he was headed before Christ entered his life. That he was a bigot, that he was a Pharisee, that he was headed for this destruction. And he saw the amazing change that Christ performed in his life. That he gave him a real purpose. That he gave him a real mission. That he showed him grace. And that now he had this blessing and this grace to show it to the people around him. And that's what we have tonight. That's what Christ would give us tonight. He would give us the opportunity to share the gospel to people who don't know him, to people who are headed towards destruction, to people who have nothing else, no future, no hope, to grant them hope, to grant them the love of Christ, to be the love of Christ in their life. But the only way that's going to happen is if I put away the other things, if the things of this world grow strangely dim, if I stop focusing on the things that don't matter and allow Christ to truly indwell my life, to believe that he dwells within me and to allow him to work through me, to allow him to lead me, to allow him to speak through me, to allow him to guide me every morning as I get up to say, Christ, where are we going to go today? Jesus, what are we going to do today? Lord, who are we going to impact? Who are we going to love? Who are we going to sacrifice for? What are we going to do together? How are we going to impact this world? How am I going to experience your glory? True life, life abundant within me. Let's stand. We're going to worship Christ. And the song is new, but it goes along with the message tonight. It talks about Christ being our everything. Allowing him to just take over every part of our life. Leading us in what we say, what we do, what we think. In our rejoicing, in our crying, in the good times and the bad times. Allowing him to lead us, allowing him to live through us. Declaring that he is our hope, he is our glory, that there's nothing else that matters, there's nothing else that we care about, there's nothing else for us in this world. It's all him, it's nothing but him. So let's sing this song, give him glory, declare this truth, make this a truth for us, for our lives.